Welcome to The Laundry Hour, a podcast encouraging stay-at-home moms to fulfill their God-given and extraordinary purpose in their seemingly ordinary lives. I'm your host, Jamie Williams. Hey everyone, welcome to The Laundry Hour. I am so glad you have desired to want to be with me yet another week. But if this is your first time, thank you for coming. I'm really grateful that you saw the title or saw other titles and said, I want to listen to this. Whether you're listening to this Monday, the day it comes out, or any time this week, or even months from now, years from now, even, I'm grateful that you stopped by. I think the Lord is doing something pretty special through The Laundry Hour, and I'm pretty honored that he would use me to do so. So today we were supposed to continue in our love study about how to love the Lord with all our might or all our strength. But I never got to writing it last week. And I was like, man, we're going on a date this weekend. I don't think I'm going to have time to do it. What am I going to do? So I'm recording this Monday morning. I typically do it on Thursday afternoon or evenings. But yesterday, my husband and I were blessed by a friend to get to go see Bethel Worship in concert, or in worship experience, event-ness, whatever you want to call it. And on the way home from that, my husband and I were just processing and talking through all the things that we felt and experienced and heard. And I just felt like the Lord was like, share that with them. I was like, oh, okay. And so I don't know if that was the whole plan, why, you know, time didn't work out for me to spend time to study. But I'm excited to share just a little piece of what I experienced yesterday. So first I wanted to say that I really love Stephanie Gretzinger. If you don't know her, I would say Google her, YouTube her. I love the way that she worships the Lord, and I think that's what a lot of people like about her, but also like about Bethel in general. They seem very free in worship, in the spirit, in leading people into the presence of God, in a way that we don't typically see. But I also really like videos that I've seen of her as she has just expressed to her life and how she walks with the Lord and how she pursues him on a personal basis. And I not only appreciate her like honesty and authenticity and stuff, but I also like her because I'm like, you're weird and I'm weird and you love the Lord and I love the Lord and I want to know him in such an intimate way that you do. And so I understand, like, there's a healthy way of looking at someone's life, and I want that, and there's also an unhealthy way of doing that. But I wanted to say that I really wanted to see her yesterday. She was not there. I was very sad about it, and I also kind of, like, forgot that I was going to a worship event, so I kind of forgot, like, we were going to meet with God, you know? Like, I knew that was going to happen, but I was really excited to see her. I was really excited to hear, you know, her say some things about her relationship with the Lord and what I could glean from it and stuff. And so it was just a smack in the face again about how, you know, we go to church or we go to events like this with a mindset of what we can get out of it rather than what we can give. And a mindset of I want to be pleased and enjoy rather than I want to please God. Like, God, what would please you? And if this wouldn't please you, then I don't want to do it. You know? So I wanted to start with that. as well as saying that I have lots of images and phrases and words that I still need to pray about and process through. Though my husband and I talked on the way home yesterday, obviously, there are, you know, we still need to walk some stuff out. So I'm not sharing everything that we experienced yesterday, but there are three really powerful things that, you know, jumped off the top of my head that I wanted to share. And the first thing was that though we were watching people lead worship or sing really well or play really well, like we were watching people who have and are perfecting their gift. So I think we don't just like Bethel because they sing great. You know, I think we obviously appreciate that, but we also appreciate the fact that they know how to get into the presence of God. Like they have practiced it, and they've practiced how to lead others there. Something amazing that was there that happened yesterday we didn't know is that Tasha Cobbs Leonard was actually going to be there too. Now, if you don't know who she is, you need to go find out. Okay, I'll let you know she is Black. She's gonna sing sometimes a different culture or style of music, but the same power that is on Bethel, same power on her, like the same gospel, the same truth. They sound different, but I love it because they can still sing together. I think the Lord is very honored when two very different things come together for His glory and His name. And so my husband and I just loved the fact that they were united on tour together. Aside from that, what we love about Tasha Cobbs Leonard, as well as Bethel, and as well as other artists or gifted believers, is the ability to get into the presence of God. Like, you know how to do that. You know how to wade through your own mess, other people's mess, and get there. You know how to lead people there, and rather than leaving people. That was something they talked about. We got to be a part of the Q&A. Like, how do you know, you may know how to get to the presence of God, but other people don't. How do you walk through that? And Tasha Cobbs Leonard said, you have to use wisdom. Like, we are worship leaders. I don't want to leave people. I don't want to go there and then nobody has come with me. That's not my job. I could do that by myself. If I'm here with you, I'm here to serve you, to help you get there. So anyways, they know how to lead people. They know how to get there themselves. And then they have perfected their gift. So perfected their gift could be in the instrument, like guitar, piano, you know, but also the instrument of their voice, their range, knowing, you know, what they're good at in each song, knowing the keys that they sing in, knowing their instrument in the sense of like their body. Like, there were moments they were jumping and walking back and forth, and I'm like, you sound exactly the same as when you were standing still or sitting. And I, what? Like, you were an athlete up there. Or they also talked about songwriting and being jealous for like the perfect song, because the perfect song from the Lord has power on it, has anointing. Like, have you ever heard one of those songs that like the specific line, the melody, the way it reaches the climax brings you to your knees? Like, something happened with the song rather than just, oh, that was a nice song. You know, there's something very different from, oh, that's catchy, to, oh man, I am weeping and I don't know why, because the power of the Spirit is on that thing. And so as I looked at them and appreciated everything that I saw, I said, that's not just for them. That is a word, a call, a command to all of us. Because Scripture says that we have all been given a gift from God. We've all been given a measure from the Spirit. Whatever that gift is, we all have one. We all have multiples of them. And our job is to figure out what our gift is, and then to perfect it in, you know, like, our instrument, our, you know, what is it? I don't know. Can't think of the word, but their ability to, their stamina, that's the word. Good gravy. Okay. You know, whatever will make them the best singer, the best leader, and then the best, like, believer, all of those things are like are necessary for them to be why we desire to go listen to them, you know. And so those same things work for us. So I believe being a good leader and good believer and figuring out how to get into the presence are all true for all of us, no matter what gift we have. And then the third one is whatever our gift is, perfecting your gift, whether that is teaching, whether that is giving, whether that is evangelism. I don't know what your gift is, but figuring out what that is and then perfecting that to the best of your abilities, perfecting how to lead others and different types of people, different groups of people, you know, people that have never gone where you're going, and then people that love to stay where you've been, you know, that you would lead both of those groups very differently, as well as perfecting how to get into the presence of God. Like, what is my process? You know, some people's process is through prayer. Some people's process is through song. Some people's process is through scripture. You know, what is your process? How do you get into the presence? Spend time being in it. Spend time leading people. Spend time in your gift. And as we do all of those things, we equip ourselves to be powerfully used by God for the betterment of the body. So let me say that again. The only reason we want to perfect our gift is for the purpose of the body. That's why we've been given gifts. For the upbuilding of God's people. It is not for our fame. It is not for ourselves, even. It is not for money. I don't care. It is not for any of those things. It is specifically for the body of Christ. So Bethel and Tashkovs and whomever else, they're perfecting, hopefully and always and forever, should be about us. You know, I want to help all of the people that come and listen to me get one step closer to God. That is my job. That is my goal. That is my desire. That is why I work so hard at these three things, at how to lead, how to get into the presence, and how to do my gift really well. Okay, so my charge with that is figure out what your gifts are and perfect them. Perfect how to get in the presence of God, know your process, and then perfect how to lead others. They are with you. Okay, so the next thing that happened was we met a couple while we were waiting in line. And they, like, asked us a question, like, is this the right line? Yeah, yeah. And then they started, like, oh, so who are you? You know? And it was cool that a very, you know, small starting conversation ended up, like, them sort of kind of adopting us. And then we walked in together, and they were like, come on, we're going to sit together. And just sharing our lives with them and them sharing their lives with us. And it was just really cool how it happened. And as conversation continued to unfold, it was like, oh yeah, we were supposed to meet you. You were supposed to meet us. We were both struggling in similar gathering church experiences and trying to figure out, like, Lord, what is our role in this? Like, all are very passionate about the church and very passionate about outreach, and how do we bring people along with us that might not seem like they want to go where we're going? And we're like, no, like, this is where the Lord wants us to go. And so that was really exciting and very cool. And then also, like, my husband just opening his eyes to watching what they were doing, and the husband was praying over her belly, and he was like, my husband was like, I don't know, she could be pregnant, but I don't know. They don't have any children. They haven't iterated anything about children. I wonder if they're struggling with that. And he said to me, you know, I'm pretty good at getting pregnant, it seems. And so he was like, you pray over her, because somehow your body is blessed in that. So bless her body. And I said, can I pray for you for this? And she expressed to me that they have been struggling with infertility and just decided the day before that they were not going to do any medical procedures to help with that. And so just as we prayed and things, it was like, man, this was divine. Like, and then just as they continued to share that story with us, and it was more than just, oh, we met some people and we connected and we had fun. Like, no. It was very apparent that the Lord was, that he orchestrated our meeting. And not just for that day too, but for future things. And it reminded us that we are a body, that whenever we meet believers, we are automatically family with them because they are our brothers and sisters. And if they are our brothers and sisters, we should treat them like our brothers and sisters. And so when your family needs something, you help them. When you know, when your family is doing anything, you're there for it, you know. And sure, it may take time to talk to them and get to know them, to build a relationship or a bond of a family likeness, but the actions of family should always be there. If they have claimed themselves to be a believer of Jesus Christ, they have therefore claimed themselves to be your sibling in the Lord. And so we really appreciated how the Lord united us for yesterday, but then what he's also going to do in our relationship in the future. So I wanted to share that too. And then the third thing I wanted to share was there were lots of songs we heard yesterday that we knew, but there were a lot of songs yesterday that we did not know. And I really, really enjoyed it. I think for two reasons. One, Psalm says, sing a new song to the Lord. And I think there's something to be said about singing a new song. One, we get bored with old things and they become commonplace and we get used to them. And when we get used to them, they typically don't have the same power to us. And I think that's okay. It's not to say that that was a bad song. It should have never been made. Nothing about that. Just something about the fact that things like that just happen. And I think we just need to be aware of the fact that it happens, and that's okay. But also, singing a new song to the Lord reflects your current experiences with him, like a ongoing relationship. And so a song that you knew years ago or wrote years ago, going from the experience of the artist on stage, like that carries the weight of that season and that experience. Still powerful, but different. Just different. But now if I'm singing from a place of where I am right now, my current need, my current struggles, my current praise, it's a different song. It's a different power. That's a different offering to the Lord, you know? We don't just want to offer him stuff we've been offering him. We want to offer him our lives today, our heart today, what we're going through today. And so singing a new song to the Lord is, again, just a reflection of your current relationship with him. And so I appreciate new songs for that reason. And I think they are scripturally founded. My other thought about singing a new song, or the new songs that we heard, the overwhelming majority of the songs we sang yesterday were about the gospel. They were about the cross. They were about my sin being forgiven. They were about Jesus rising from the grave. They were about a no grave holding me down. They were about God being glorified, God being lifted high, God reigning, His kingdom coming. Like every big song that we didn't know that like hit me and hit my husband, and it seemed, you know, to hit everyone in the room, were the songs about the gospel. And this is what I thought and remembered. I said, we have forgotten the beauty of the gospel. That is all that we need. That is the foundation. Everything is built upon that. We can't understand and appreciate that God knows the plans that He has for us, that they are, you know, for a hope and a future, unless they're founded in the gospel. Because if we think God knows the plans that He has for us and they are good, they're to prosper us, we could see that outside of the light of the gospel. We could see that as earthly prosperity, or He wants all my dreams to come true. Not to say that's not true, but if we look at that promise in the passage of the gospel, we could say, you're right. You're prospering me through the blood of Christ. I have every spiritual blessing because of Christ. And that is the hope. That is the future you have for me in Christ in heaven. That's a different scripture. That's a totally different picture. There's one completely founded in earthly realities, and there's another founded in heavenly realities. I think everything in scripture is always focused on heaven. Yes, Jesus, the Father, the Spirit do things in our world. Duh. But He never meant things to stay in our world. Every time Jesus healed on the earth, it never was meant to just be a healing on the earth. That was meant to heal souls. That was meant to heal hearts. That was meant to heal lives too. So, the beauty of the gospel, I think we don't grasp the beauty of the gospel because we think we get it already, as well as I don't think we get how deep our sin is. I don't think we really get that we sinned against God. We offended Him. We were enemies of Him. We deserve death. We deserve hell. I don't think we get that. All right, so I'm back. Talk about recording in real mom life. I hope you enjoyed that interruption from No Bryn. But I kind of wanted to get back to what we were saying before, you know, life happened a little bit, and how we can continue to walk through the gospel even in, you know, our motherhood. But just thinking again about the fact that we don't fully grasp the beauty of the gospel until we can deeply grasp like the depth of our sin and where we truly have been brought out from. Like, freedom isn't sweet unless you're like, oh, I hate captivity. It was awful in there, you know? Like, I think about the Israelites, the generation of the Israelites were enslaved for 400 years. Now, not every person experienced all 400 of those years, but can you imagine if you were a child, and when Moses was coming to free you, you were about 80. So you spent most of your life as a slave. Like, it was hard and grueling and awful, and you always dreamed of being free, hoped to be free. And then finally, one day, you were. Oh, man. Wouldn't you just love your freedom? I hope so. I really hope that we would just love our freedom. And so I think about like the songs we were singing yesterday and just like, man, I'm so grateful. And even my gratefulness is just a tiny glimpse. In a story in one of the Gospels, Jesus says that this woman loves much because she was forgiven much. Now, that's only because she realized the way she experienced the weight of her sin. So therefore, she experiences a little bit more the glory of forgiveness. Now, we can still experience the glory of forgiveness when we really come to terms with the fact that, man, I am a sinner. Like, I have sinned against you, and you are so good. Like, Jesus, you did not have to come, but you chose to. God, you made a plan from the beginning of time that you would come and save us. You knew the whole story. You let it happen anyway. You knew I was going to sin against you, and you still planned to save me. Like, what love is that? What joy, what freedom, what life does that bring to those of us who really know that we are in the depths of it, or really have no idea that we've been in the depths this whole time? That kind of love for the gospel will transform how we love the Lord, transform how we love each other. And I think it's important that I experience that, but that we get to talk about it today, because as we continue to talk about what it means to love the Lord and love one another, I'm reminded of 1 John 4:19 that says, we love because he first loved us. We cannot love the Lord like he's asked us to. We cannot love one another like he's asked us to until we accept the love from him, experience his love, experience the beauty of the gospel every moment of every day. That is what will transform us into people that say, God, you have my heart. You have my soul. You have my strength. And God, I will love each and every person I see around me just like I love myself. I will love them just like you have loved me. You planned before the foundation of the world to come save me out of my sin. You laid down your life. I will lay down my life. So that was just a little bit of my time at Bethel yesterday. And I hope that encouraged you. I hope that it made you even want to go experience your own encounter like that. Obviously, we don't need to go to a worship event to do it. We can do it in the comfort of our own living rooms, with music, with scripture, in prayer, with other believers. We just need to figure out how to get in the presence and get in there. Because life, we are transformed when we experience God. And I hope that this week you will be transformed because you sought to experience him. Can I pray over you? Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for choosing us, for saving us, for redeeming us, freeing us, calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light, making us a son and a daughter. Please, please, please overwhelm us by the beauty of your gospel. Open our eyes to how truly wicked we actually are. And open our eyes even more to how truly gracious and loving and kind you actually are. And let this gospel transform our hearts in such a way that we love you with everything. And we love one another like you did. And you loved. And you love with everything. The gospel is the only thing that can transform. Forgive us for how we think that our work, our methods, our strategies, our church programs can transform us. They don't. Your gospel is the only thing that does. Your spirit is the only thing that does. We need you to move in us. So we thank you. We want to experience you. We don't want to be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. If you like today's episode, please subscribe. If you loved it, please share. If you got a habit, please write a review. I truly, truly would love to hear what you have to say. And if you want more, tune in next week because I believe we will actually talk about what it means to love the Lord with all of your strength or your might. But until then, I will leave you with 1 Peter 1:2. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ rest on you and your families. I love you. Bye.